He foreknows us regarding our choice for justification. But I don't know that the Bible tells us how much he knows. He's not our moment-by-moment coach. We've got a Word of God for that, the Bible. And we've got instructions to study it, to be approved as a workman. Go ahead, Daryl.
Well, I believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. First of all, can everybody hear me okay? I'm on a different computer. And I was, what verse came to mind? But we still have free will. And even Jesus of Nazareth during his earthly ministry, when he's talking about the, I guess this is a parable of the Good Samaritan, he says, and by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, yes, free will still plays a part, but still God is God. We can't comprehend we can't fathom, as in unfathomable. That's for you, Brian, just seeing if you're awake. All the things about God, what he can and cannot do. I would never put any limitations on God. But I do believe he knows all. I do know, I do believe that he's omniscient. I do believe that he is omnipresent. Unlike Satan, Satan can't read our thoughts. However, Satan and his minions can tell other things about us. They can read our blood pressure and our heart rate and you know, when we blush, and they use those things against us. But they can't read our minds. But God knows our thoughts. God knows what's in our hearts. Like Mike said, we were foreknown. I think the verse says that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that is talking about saved people. Somebody wants to find that verse for me. And I think I didn't misquote it. I think I quoted it pretty close. And other than that, I just wanted to say to Laura, thank you for posting verses. I've told many people that posting verses for live Bible studies, posting verses for recorded Bible studies in these Pal Talk rooms is a great way to learn the Bible. It's a great way to learn where the scriptures are, and you go, oh, okay, and you connect the dots. But you got to remember, don't get too used to, you know, the computer Bibles and the computer Bible posting programs. Don't forget about your paper Bible. Never forget to use your paper Bible. And there's James. How are you doing, James? You just missed a really good lesson by Chicago Mike. His Chicago accent really comes through when he's got a cold. And that cold, I think, is nationwide, if not worldwide. The flu is going around, and I've had, I really, knock on wood, where, knock on my head there, I don't really ever get sick, but I have been, you know, one batch of snowbirds comes down and I catch something, a little something, something, and I get well too, and I get well, and then another batch comes down, you know, after Thanksgiving, and they bring a whole new strain of whatever it is with them, And then after Christmas and New Year's, a whole bunch more will be coming down. But a lot of people are sick this year, I've noticed, so not just you. Sorry, it's bronchitis. That's more than just a chest cold. I understand that, Laura. I think hospitals and doctor's offices and anything to do with the medical industrial complex is a petri dish for, you know, germs and whatnot. But excellent cross-references, too, in that lesson, Mike. Those cross-references of, put the Old Testament verses and putting them together with the quote-unquote New Testament verses. Of course, we who understand dispensational truth understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament books. It's Old Testament doctrine. It's Old Testament material. That's why I say quote unquote New Testament. But you put those verses, you can connect the dots between Christ's earthly ministry, which is all about prophecy. No, not tonight, Mike. Thank you. Mike just asked me in PM if I was opening my room, and I'm not going to be opening my room. So I'm on this weird computer, and I can't. It's hard to type. It's my little baby computer, and I'm kicked back in my living room in my recliner right now, like I picture Gary and I picture Clarence when he's online. Laura says she's opening her room next, so thanks, Mike. Are you going to be open tomorrow? I know you're going to take Monday off. Mike, are you going to be opening tomorrow? No, so we won't see Mike back till Tuesday? Question mark. You'll be back on Tuesday, Mike? Question mark. As a group, we have no prophetic value. Well, it depends on what you mean by prophetic value. God is not, God's prophetic program is not in any way, shape, or form happening today. We are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Oh, you're not returning until January 2nd. So you're taking a long vacation. Oh, my. So somebody's going to have to fill your shoes for over a week. Oh, today's Friday. Is today Friday? I thought today was Thursday. Okay. So Mike's taking a long break. I don't even know what day it is. Linda, I don't know what you mean by prophetic prophecy, because we've got to remember that we do have free will, and we do make choices, sometimes good ones, sometimes bad ones, and I do not. Again, I don't want to put any limitations on what God is and is not doing, or what God can and cannot do, as in healing people, or I know the Holy Spirit is at work, but I think that's only through doctrine and only through the Word of God. Then we as individuals make our choices as to what we're going to do. But I believe that God knows in advance. He knew before the foundation of the world. He knows the beginning from the end. I think that's the verse, if somebody wants to find that one. and everything in between. And then, personal relationship and the belief at the end of it. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to release the mic so Mike can start his lengthy vacation from Pal Talk. But he's probably got a whole bunch of family stuff to do, which is sometimes more work than, real job, Mike. Just like moving from or helping somebody move is harder work than working at Target. And there's another stranger. Welcome in, Carolina Yankee. Dave, how you doing? Good to see you. So we're getting a lot of old timers coming in here. Ember Sparks, that's James. James is doing well. Things are getting better in his life. Thank the Lord. There's Brian and Linda. We haven't heard from Linda in quite a while. Must be the middle of the morning for Linda. She's over there in Amsterdam. And Carlos, good to see you. Vic and Gordon, good to see you all. Did I miss anybody? There's Joe. And who did I miss? Laura. I got everybody. But there's some folks that we haven't been seeing in quite a while, and it's good to see you joining us again there. Dave and James and anybody else that I might have missed. It's a good room tonight. Great lesson, as usual. Thanks again, Mike. And I'm going to go ahead and say the new Pal Talk. We'll try Pal Talk Classic, Linda. Go download. It's if you go to the Pal Talk download page and you scroll down to the very bottom of the page. Now I have been led back to Classic. Oh, okay. So you already know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm getting off the mic. Grace and peace, everybody. I'll go ahead and say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and the real miracle of Christmas is the conception, right? As Richard Jordan and E.C. Moore, and didn't you do a Bible study on this once upon a time, Mike, or am I confusing it with the... And so that should be up on his website. But the real miracle of this time of year is, this is right about the time, based upon biblical studies, that Jesus of Nazareth was conceived. And that was the real miracle. His birth, there was nothing miraculous about the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman, just like you and me. So it wasn't his birth that was miraculous. It was the conception that was the miracle, the real miracle of Christmas. Open mic.
Oh, that's the wake-up buzzer. Anyway. Stick around, Linda. I did want to comment on something you had put back there, put up. I can't find it, but I think you were saying that prophecy, national prophecy or group prophecy, is not in effect now because the body of Christ is a insertion. I don't know. It's a it was placed in the spot where there was a gap in Israel's history. God started the body of Christ in Acts 9. Israel had fallen in Acts 7, and God didn't want to leave no way for people to come to God, so he saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus. But the other part, personal, I don't know what all you mean by that, but I would say that in a sense that's true. In this sense, let me explain it. If a person hears the gospel, he's got a choice to stay on this earth at the rapture by not believing the gospel. And when he enters into that tribulation period, having rejected the gospel, he will be blinded. He will be, not physically, but spiritually, he will, I'm trying to think of the phrase, the term that's used, given a strong delusion, it says, so that he cannot believe the truth, and he will be damned if he has entered into the tribulation, having heard the gospel before the tribulation and rejected it. So it is important to receive it when you hear it. You never know what's going to happen between now and then. You know, you can't go by life expectancy averages. Somebody given a 2 years to live because of cancer or something, you may only have a half hour to live. You walk out in the street and get hit by a car or something. You don't know if you've got the next 2 years. So trust Christ that he did die for all your sins. And it's not, the weight of those sins is not on you. The sins are not on you if you trust that he died for your sins. That he rose for your justification. He did get resurrected. The Father said, that's fine. That's done. All our sins were paid for. Paid in full. You're resurrected. That's what it implied on the resurrection day. And yes, the miracle of Christmas was the late December, probably December. Well, I don't know exactly the date, but in the last 2 weeks of December, the conception of Jesus Christ, and he was born 9 months later when the sheep were still in the fields. There are several indications. And don't put the wise men there in that nativity scene. They didn't come along until a couple years later, probably 2 to 4 years later, and brought their gifts to a house, not to the stable, to a house. And he was a young boy, not a baby, when the wise men came. Just facts. James, yeah, I like that comment there. We're forgiven. We're not just remitted our sins like Israel was promised remission if they kept the law, kept the covenants, and kept the circumcision. You know, I went through that whole list. They were promised their sins would be remitted to a future time. Well, Christ died for those sins already now, and they can come to God, and any Jew can come like anybody else, but he has to admit that he's a sinner and try and convince a Jew that he's a sinner. And they think that since they're a Jew, they're not sinners. And that all expired in Acts 7 when Israel fell. They have to come to God just like we do. Back then, they had to endure to the end. And after the catching up of the body of Christ to heaven, when that seven-year tribulation begins again, they will have to endure to the end, too. That's what 1 John is about, tests of who to trust in the tribulation. Somebody comes knocking at your door. Should I trust them? Should I let them know? You know, should I feed them? Should I let them know that somebody's hiding in our basement or whatever? It'll be a hard time. Have you seen the Anne Frank movie? I'm not saying it's a predictor of Revelation. Revelation is, in the last book of the Bible is about that 70th week, mainly. There's a little before and a little after. There's some, you know, praise and the description of Jesus Christ is just outstanding.